You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And Kenny join me today. Yeah, so you don't want to miss that intellectual event. Boom. Yeah. Actually, we recorded it last night, and so I'll tell you what we talk about. Well, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. I wanted to talk about early morning physical fitness here, and then I want to talk about the president. Early morning physical fitness. Now, since I've been able to do the show an hour later, right, I can get up at like 5:30 and I can go for a run. And, but the problem I have anyway, and I think it's a lot of guys, especially Marines have. I mean, your body, you've used it too much. That's what the doctor told me. Get it through your head, man. You used it too much, and you didn't use it the right way. Right, you're like, okay, so what's your point? Yeah, like, I didn't, like, run in the right shoes all the time and in shorts. And, like, I did stuff. And it, like, did things to my body. And over the course of the years, those injuries take their toll, right, as your body kind of adjusts. For instance, I hyperextended my left knee. It's never fully recovered. I damaged my left ankle when I was still in college, but I rolled it over so bad that where the tendons and the ligaments, they get stretched out, right? There is elasticity in those things, and my ankle never recovered and sat the same way, right? So, like, before the injury, if you looked at my feet from, like, not where my head is, but from away from me, right, they would sit the same way, right? After I did this, my left ankle doesn't sit the same way. Let's just say flat, right? But it doesn't. The outside edge, right, it's looser, so the outside edge hangs down. So when I run, so what the doctor told me was, hey, you know, you guys have a lifetime of these things, and you keep doing stuff on them, and you don't rehabilitate them right, You don't get like the right inserts and things for your feet and stuff like that. And so your body adjusts to it. Well, that's not a good thing. So I just sat there and listened. And he said, so you're going to have issues. Now, you got to be careful with your issues lest you develop arthritis at a relatively early age. So when he said arthritis, he got my attention. So anyway, so the question is how to stay active knowing you have all these things. So it's a bit of a trick. What I found, though, and I'd be curious about your experience, but when I do it before work, it changes my whole day. Yeah. One, I like it. Two, it changes the way I eat because I've already worked out. I eat better. And I'm more likely to work out a second time if I work out a first time. But the hardest thing to do is to swing your feet out of the bed and put them on the floor in the morning and get moving. So it's interesting. It's interesting. So, but I like it more. So the different hours of the show now lend itself to that. So I thought I would mention that. So early morning fitness, I think, is a good thing. Now let me, and so I was doing a little bit of, reading about that, and I had an article that was sitting here a few minutes ago that I must have just closed. 7 benefits of early morning fitness. All right, here they are. Why morning exercise kicks butt. 1, morning workouts enhance your metabolism. Excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, or EPOC, is a buzzword in the fitness industry. Basically, it means that your body burns more calories after you work out, even when you're sitting at a desk or driving in a car. One study showed that participants burned an extra 190 calories in the 14 hours after exercise when compared to those who didn't exercise at all. And that's because of EPOC, don't you know? So there you go. There's number 1. Number 2, a good morning workout routine will help cultivate consistency. Working out in the morning ensures that you don't interrupt your workout schedule and with other daily items that can seem more pressing. For example, if you exercise in the evening, you run the risk of being late from work, feeling overloaded, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? That's, I think, that's the greatest advantage of it, is you have control over it. So you get out of bed specifically for that reason. There's not a whole lot that's going to interrupt you from the time you get out of bed to the time you start working out. So I think that's a good thing. I think 2 is probably the best reason. 3, morning exercise improves your physical and mental energy. Whatever. I mean, if that's like... Oh yeah, that's not for me. It's like, come on, does Mac need more physical and mental energy? Not really, but whatever. All right, so that's on the list. 4, early morning workouts help you develop strong self-discipline. I don't know about that. I think it takes strong self-discipline to get your ass out of bed. I don't think early morning workouts, do that. What I think is you start the day off right. Right? And it's hard to maintain it. I know in Afghanistan, that's when I think a lot of guys had the best results because, you know, late in the day, your day get your, it's OBE, overcome by events. And so, I don't think the early morning workout develops self-discipline. I think it takes self-discipline to start early in the morning. So I disagree with 4. 5, a morning exercise routine will help you sleep better. You want to know what helps me sleep better? Post-traumatic winning. Yeah, no kidding. I sleep better now. You want to know why? because my life, same reason I didn't feel as bad this year, Memorial Day. And we were talking about that, myself and the Ass Clowns. That's what helped me. So working out never helped me sleep better. So I'm destroying the article that I'm citing. Well, whatever, man. I don't care. But does it help me sleep better? No. What helps me sleep better is peace of mind. That leveraging and over Memorial Day, you know, when we were discussing it, is knowing that all that you've been through, that you're putting to a good end, right? That you're putting to a good end. And that's what helps me sleep. And I do, let me tell you, in the last 6 months, I've slowly but surely, you know, begun sleeping through the night. Or maybe I wake up once or twice, which is night and day. If you could tell me, to me, waking up once or twice is sleeping through the night. All right. Number six, morning exercise allows you to reach your fitness goals faster. I don't know about that. Well, here's what I think. That might be true. That might be true. Because, as I said, I think you're more, once you work out, you're more conscious of, do I really need to eat that? Right? Do I really need to eat that? And I think it gets your day off. I think that's true. I think you start off on the right foot. You know, I think you always feel better. You know, the whole thing about mental energy, I think, is absolutely right. You know, one of the commandments for post-traumatic winning is, you know, be fit for life. It's good for your mental health. So I do believe that. So I do believe in terms of reaching fitness goals, because it changes your attitude. Morning fitness. Yeah. Number seven, exercise in the morning and love your life. Whatever. I don't really know about that. Here's a whole series of things. I hate morning exercise, right? Rule number one, put your alarm far away. Number two, keep moving. Don't go to the shower. Don't sit down for breakfast. Don't check your email. Put something in your mouth and head out the door. That's not bad advice. Number three, give yourself something to look forward to. If you're going to get up and do a workout you hate, you can only expect this morning routine to last for so long. Make sure that your morning workout is something you look forward to. Set your favorite TV show playing as you hit the station or bike. Put on your favorite running playlist or turn on an audiobook that you're making it through. Rule number four, don't skip the warm-up. Who warms up? Come on, really. What does that mean? Crack your knuckles, like roll your shoulders once. Let's go. Yeah, I'm not so much on the warm up. If you don't need to spend 20 minutes stretching to get flexible, but you do need to limber up those muscles that are stiff from a night of sleep, make sure you spend at least 5 to 10 minutes warming up with light movements before you ramp up the intensity. Whatever. All right. Rule number five: keep it short. Who has 2 hours to spend exercising in the morning? Not too many people, but nearly everyone can find 30 or 40 minutes to exercise. Now, see, I think that's right. And like I said, I'm more apt to exercise. For instance, if I get up and run, right? So, and again, I can't like go jog, you know, 3 miles or something like that. I can't do that anymore. Because my body is warped, right? You know, I run heel to toe, and then I run flat-footed. Ka-ding, ka-ding, ka-ding. So that has an effect on my hip. So in talking to a trainer, we were talking about this one day, and I said, and he says, you're going to get arthritis. And I said, okay, but I got to run. I got to move. He said, sprint. I said, what? He said, sprint. I said, okay, I could do that. He said, no, here's why. You can work on your form, right, in those short bursts. And honestly, he said that slow jog, okay, that's how you grew up. But now the trend in fitness is more explosive, short, raise your cardio, and blast it workouts. And he said they're better for you. He said, so if you want to be one of the cool kids, I said, well, I don't really need to be a cool kid. I am pretty cool myself. He said, sprint. He said, work on your form. That way you won't make old injuries worse, right? And you can still get the same great benefits from it. So that's what I do. I kind of do interval training. I'll start off walking, and then I blast off into a sprint for however long I can do it. And then I stop, and I'll walk, and then I blast off again. And I do that for about 2 miles. So next bullet point. Eat small before your workout. Come on, who eats before they work out at 5 in the morning? Next one, drink. Okay, got it. All right, so there you have it. Just some thoughts I had about working out in the morning. If you have any pointers, send them to me, and I'll include them in the podcast. The fallout yesterday from former Marine Bob Mueller. It ranged from there's no there. Right. He could not indict the president. So it made whatever they gathered immaterial. He did not exonerate the president. He once again stated that there was no conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. And the president has now teed off on him, calling him a never Trumper. That leaves us at impeachment. And so the ball sits squarely in Nancy Pelosi's court. Are they going to impeach? Now, they know that they're not going to convict him. So the question is, do you want to do the theatrics of, right, the testimony and keep the focus on Trump, right? And yet all the polls say it's not in the top. What did I see? It's not in the top 8 things that people care about relative to the next election. I think I saw that last night. So Mueller, I don't know. I mean, to me, what he said yesterday was pretty straightforward. All he did was echo what was in the report. And he amplified that he did not have the power to indict the president, that rests with Congress. So Congress either does it or they don't. So Nancy Pelosi, she's out of the fire and into the frying pan. So we'll see. It did not, I mean, so he's not going to be removed from office, right? So this whole idea of, quote, impeachment will be political grandstanding. Everybody knows that, right? So that's where Bob Mueller left it yesterday. But again, did anybody expect him on his way out the door to exonerate the president when he doesn't do that in his report? And he also said, look, if you're looking for something else in my were I to testify, you're not going to hear anything beyond what was in the report. What we found is in the report. So there you have it. So it was interesting, and it is now. Let me just tell you, this is the I hate to say this, really. This is the sympathy that I have for the president. If I was him and I watched all this bullshit, and I knew I didn't collude with the Russians. And I want Comey to say that. I want Comey to say, hey, the president's not subject of a criminal investigation. Comey won't say that. I know where this came from. It was my enemies that tried to run me out of the campaign. It was Hillary Clinton's people. And then this thing goes on and on and on. And you expect me, Donald Trump, to just sit here idly by while you use our democratic institutions to try to run me out of office. and try to cripple my presidency after I won this thing, fair and square. It wasn't fair and square. The Russians have been involved in all of our elections. What's interesting about the investigation is it said the Russians intervened specifically to deny Hillary Clinton the presidency. Now, there was a dateline, was that what it was? A dateline that talks about why Putin would do that. And it goes into Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State meddling in the internal affairs of Russia. And Putin's fear after seeing Muammar Gaddafi drugged through the street and yanked out of that pipe, right? That she was trying to incite the same thing for him. And that that was specifically pointed, the help of Bernie Sanders and the targeting of Hillary Clinton was specifically pointed by Putin against her. But the Russians have been meddling in our elections as often as they could over the years. I mean, I talked about that famous quote where Khrushchev tells Kennedy, "You know, Mr. President, we voted for you." And Kennedy, like, supposedly looked at him like, So Donald Trump sees all this and he's going to sit on his hands and not do anything, not do everything he can short of being indicted, right? Blasting public officials, telling somebody to fire somebody. He's not going to do everything he can, knowing that this is all a political game, right? Being aimed at him, and he's supposed to take it. That's the way this is supposed to go. Come on, you know better than that. And again, that's why to me the Attorney General's investigation is important into what was this? Was this simply, right, assassinating another political candidate with salacious, false stories? And having them be promoted by other national politicians? John McCain involved in the chain of custody in all of this, right? So anyway, so there's a part of me that I believe that Donald Trump, I mean, he was wronged, and it was an orchestrated conspiracy to wrong him. And he fought back against the conspiracy. And now they're going to say, well, that's obstruction of justice. Well, I mean, look at Comey. I mean, we talked about that guy's a clown. Look at some of the people that have been involved in this that have resigned. And you're supposed to sit there on your hands and not do anything? So there's a part of me that I don't know if sympathy is the right thing to do, but I think I would have done something similar. I would have sat there on my hands and said, geez, I hope this all works out for me. I'd have been pissed. I would have been pissed. And again, if the Attorney General finds that this was all garbage, which to me, between the impeachment of Donald Trump, which will go nowhere, and the Attorney General's investigation, to me, the more compelling event, right? The impeachment, it will be theatrics. The compelling event will be what Barr finds in terms of what's the truth. Where did this come from? And who promoted it? And who paid for it? And what is the truth about what Nellie Orr did? What she gave her husband from, you know, she's doing, you know, Oppo research. What she gave her husband in the DOJ, how that circulated about. And what is the truth? And so when we heard that, like, the American people deserve to know the truth. Oh, but it's only the half of the truth that concerns the Russian collusion. What about this whole nefarious event that went on? I think that's a little bit more interesting. So anyway, Bob Mueller in the news yesterday, former Marine, that's right, Vietnam veteran. All right. we're going to get the program officially going. And then let me talk about Lynch Kenny. So we talk about Gunnar Galinas' battlefield study. So if you haven't listened to that, you should, right? So Tim Galinas joins the Marine Corps in 1967 as an 18-year-old from Rhode Island. And so Tim had listened to it, Jeff had not. But Jeff knows him. So we talked about him, and and the interview. And that kind of led us into, we've been talking about peer warfare. Could we do something like Vietnam again? Where, you know, in a day, or maybe in an operation that might last 10 days, we would kill 550, put a country in there, China, Russia, put them in there, and we would lose 200 over the course of a named operation in an era. Could we do that? And then we got to talk about how Jeff brings up the subject of the courage of helicopter pilots in Vietnam. And he tells a pretty incredible story about, well, at the time, he retired as Colonel Dabney, but Chesty Puller's son-in-law was one of the company commanders during the Hill fights around Khe Sanh, Hill 881. So Jeff tells a story about a decision he had to make after two helicopters had already been destroyed coming into the LZ, right? So the NVA, I mean, they registered those targets, right? So you try to put a helicopter down in an LZ to medevac guys that are dying, they blow the shit out of the helicopter. But I mean, the helicopter pilots, they would come. They knew Marines were dying. They would come. I mean, you have, if you look at videotape, or old film, wasn't videotape at the time. It might be now. But anyway, I mean, you see Huey gunships with like an electrical taped X on the windshield, right? On the front windshield of the Huey or the Cobra, whatever, right? That's where the target's got to be, right? For me to hit it with my rockets. And so but we talked about, you know, can the Osprey do that? The Osprey's a China doll, man. It's an over the horizon platform. It's not a 46. It can't do with in and out quick nap of the earth. That's not the Osprey. We don't have that anymore. So we have a pretty interesting discussion about, and in a peer to peer war, right? And we started talking about this. Do we even have the golden hour where if you've got to be able to get a casualty on an operating table within an hour, right? And if you could do that, the chance of survival goes to 97%. Is there any such thing as a golden hour when the lethality of the modern battlefield is exponentially greater than what it was in Vietnam? And in Vietnam, those guys got whacked. Do we have the number of aviation platforms to replace them? Because they're all way more expensive now. So anyway, we talk about that. So, I mean, it's pretty, I would even tell you, it's pretty interesting little Lynch-Kenny hour coming up. So don't touch that dial. All right, we will begin the program. Actually, we already began it, but I like to say that. The program officially begins right now. Good morning to you. Thank you. this is dedicated to Gunnar Galinas. Wanted to thank him for the battlefield study he did, and again, it's spawned great conversation, and you're going to hear it here in about 28 minutes. About actually 28 and 5 is 33 minutes. So don't touch that dial. Just dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
Come on, that's funny every day.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the news. Actually, we'll check the weather. We'll take a break. We'll check the news. Lynch and Kenny arrive. And you'll hear them get that wax eloquent. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's pretty interesting as the subject comes up. So we talk about the lethality of the NVA, right, as you know, you try to medevac your wounded and get the dead out of there as well. What about a more lethal battlefield? How do we even do it? And, I mean, the golden hour is an event, right, born in a permissive environment. Will there be a golden hour, anything close to it, in a peer-to-peer war where aviation ordnance is deadly? Interesting. All right. We'll check the weather right now. Currently, it is cloudy and 83 in Quantico, so it's heated up on the East Coast. Mostly sunny and 90 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms report, sunny and 77, so warmer there. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 60. Camp Smith in Hawaii, clear dark 77. Okinawa warming up. Cloudy dark and 75. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is 102 degrees under sunny skies. Yeah. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 91. Heating up there, boys and girls. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 61. Looking for a high of 70 today with cloudy skies. 68 tomorrow and 67 as we head into June. Yeah. That's not the way the weather normally is out here. Global warming. All right. Yeah, whatever. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, news headlines, and my comments as always. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
Listener's always right. Some Bobby Nielsen. Mr. Pizza. That's right, Mr. Pizza himself. Anyway, he writes this. 36 years ago, I started walking a mile and early every morning. Anywhere in the world, it makes you feel better the rest of the day. And the bad guy have mostly gone to bed. It's safe. I got it. The bad guys have gone to bed. Yeah, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a little bit late for them to be up. It's pretty peaceful. No doubt about that. So Nielsen recommends it. You can't be... There you go. He's one of those crazy Vietnam guys. Somebody else is fired up. Ohio man's fired up. This one's entitled Impeachment. Oh, but it will go somewhere. It will provide plenty of TV drama for the lame-ass news media and pundits to weaken Trump's agenda. The more TV time that is spent on arguing about Russia and obstruction, the less time is spent talking about 3.2% GDP, the Central American invasion, and rebuilding the military. Resisting a bullshit investigation is obstruction of justice, but placing an unauthorized server in one's basement, illegally running classified info across it, deleting 33,000 emails under subpoena, destroying the server with bleach bit, and destroying cell phones with hammers is not obstruction of justice. Not to mention all of the irregularities that occurred during the FBI investigation of the emails. I had high hopes for Mueller. I'm pretty disappointed. Barr and the federal prosecutor that he assigned to investigate, I think he means, is our last chance to right the ship. If they fail, Swamp wins. No, I to me, that's the most compelling investigation is the one that's going to, you know, find out what's the truth about it. We've got what Mueller did, right? To me, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is those nefarious actors that brought that to us. And I'll tell you what, and to me, the heavy hand of justice ought to be laid hard on, if it's found that people deliberately tried to use our democratic institutions, not the Russians, but domestic motherfuckers, if they tried to play that game, they had to go to prison. Yeah, that whole little dirty trick shit. They had to do time like, right, Howard Hunt did. Yeah. Go to jail time. So, yeah. So to me, that's the investigation I want to see. And again, you know, if you look at the poll, people aren't interested. They're not interested. The biggest thing Trump has to do is maintain the economy. If he maintains the economy, then, in my opinion, he's going to get reelected. Because there isn't a candidate, right, who is going to beat Donald Trump? Joe Biden. I mean, the rest of them can't get, I mean, so if Biden drops out, Bernie Sanders bumps up, right? But Bernie Sanders is not going to appeal to the people that elect the president, right? His avowed socialism, let's just say he splits that. That means he doesn't win. He's got to grab it. And there's nobody that's even so it would go, right, Biden, Sanders, and then everybody else that goes left of that. To me, the guy who's the most formidable candidate, electable, is a Marine, Seth Moulton. Because he's, you know, he's a conservative Democrat, right, underneath the bell curve that would appeal to the masses of people that live in the Midwest. But he's not going to get elected. So where do they go? What do they do? I'm not sure. But they have their own brewing identity crisis with all the media attention being sucked out of the room by people that are advocating at the left end of the bell curve. And there just isn't the votes over there. So all those people with all their bullshit ideas are exactly that. They're bullshit. It's an exercise in narcissism. Because you can't be a serious candidate unless you address the middle of the country. So you can scream and yell and run on the outside and run in the big cities, but you're not going to become the president of the United States. So anyhow. All right, let's talk about some news. Ohio man, he's not happy right now. I want to see the next bar investigation. All right, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I should run this down to see if this testimony was done in the open, but headline, there are real reasons to be wary of Iran, Joint Chiefs of Staff says. Speaking at the Brookings Institute in Washington, D.C., where John Allen holds sway, Marine General Joseph Dunford told an audience that putting more boots on the ground was the next logical step after intelligence concluded that a pattern of moves by the Iranian government signaled a heightened threat against U.S. forces stationed in nearby countries. And there is good reason for that, said Dunford. People can question the veracity of the intelligence, he said. All I would say is, since that weekend, there have been ships that have been hit with mines. There have been unmanned aerial vehicle strikes. There have been rocket strikes in the proximity of the United States Embassy in Iraq. All of that activity has taken place since the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May. The U.S. is seeking to close a gap in perception, he added, by reinforcing its presence. He goes on. Number one, we wanted the Iranians to know that if they did anything, it would be attributed to them. Number two, we wanted them to know that we had the capability to respond in the event that deterrence fails. And the last was to make sure that those force elements were a manifestation of our will to respond. This is not intended to be a provocation. This is not intended to reinforce our offensive capability in the region, Dunford said. This is designed to protect our people, much like the previous force elements we sent in were designed to enhance our deterrence. Quote, we saw something that looked more like a campaign than an individual threat, Dunford said of the buildup, which followed an April announcement by the Trump administration that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard would be designated a terrorist group. Quote, malign activity from Iran is not new, he said, but events seem to be more widespread, coordinated, and synchronized than usual. So there you have it. So we will find that. You'll hear that tomorrow. I will track that down because I'm a sleuth when it comes to that kind of stuff. So that's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. One other story. You know, there's so much, when you look at military headlines, so much of it is social media stuff. I mean, honestly, it is irrelevant social media stuff. The other big story floating around is White House tells Navy to keep destroyer McCain out of sight during the Trump visit to Japan. What? Now the story has been all over the place. On May 15th, a May 15th email obtained by the Wall Street Journal revealed instructions from the White House staff in preparation for the president's planned speech to about 800 sailors and Marines aboard the Japan-based amphibious ship WAS, which is based at the same port as the McCain. The email, which was reportedly shared between the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command official, Air Force official said, the U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet featured two instructions pertaining to the logistics of the president's speaking engagement. It was the third and final instruction which came as a surprise. Quote, USS McCain needs to be out of sight, the email stated, according to the Wall Street Journal. Please confirm number 3 will be satisfied. Because the ship remains out of service following a fatal 2017 collision, moving the McCain to an entirely different location would have presented a nearly insurmountable obstacle. To compensate, the Navy draped a tarp over the ship to cover up the name, the journal reported. Additionally, sailors wearing caps bearing the ship's name were given the day off to avoid any potential McCain sighting. What the hell? All right. Top 5 stories in Early Bird look like this. Number 1, Dunford military shouldn't just grow for the sake of it. Well, that's low ripe fruit, right? Said that in his remarks at Brookings. So here's the second article. I don't dispute the need to increase capacity. If we're going to grow capacity, you need to do it in a way is spelled wrong. It's spelled away, as in go away, not away, a way. You need to do it in a way where it is meaningful capability, he said. When you have to make a choice between capacity and capability, I would go with capability. Yeah, I would tell you, if you think you're going to fight, think about fighting a peer. And think about the redundant capabilities you're going to need, the depth you're going to need, and look at our force configuration. Yeah, it's pretty sobering. Pretty sobering. Okay, so if you're going to win that peer competition, how does it work? do you have to be forward based? Do you have to be there and then you have to hit him first and you have to hit him with the first nine punches? Is that how that works? I'm not exactly sure. Number two, Russia probably not adhering to a nuclear test ban. U.S. intelligence officials say Russia probably is not adhering to a moratorium on nuclear weapons testing. That's from the Associated Press. Number three, there are real reasons to be wary of Iran. That's the second article that comes out of the chairman's visit to Brookings. Number four, Pentagon fears China's growth in the Middle East arms market. The Donald Trump administration is worried that weapons carrying the Made in China label are becoming ubiquitous on Middle East battlefield, the Pentagon report revealed earlier this month. Hey, it's only the start, man. It's only the start. There's a story earlier today I saw on TV about China and their rare minerals and how they're used in the generic drug industry and how the Chinese generic drug industry is taking over the U.S. market and the predatory practices that they use to destroy different American industries are being used to run American pharmaceutical companies out of the generic drug industry, and in 10 to 15 years they will own it completely, and when they decide to choke the United States off, then we'll be choked off. So again, the confrontation with China, and again, why is only the United States part of that? Why aren't the free nations of the world telling China, you've got to play by these rules? The world is not going to tip upside down for you. Stupid. I think it's stupid. I think it's cowardly. And I think that the primary consideration in all of it is I can't get reelected if I do that. Because China will choke us off. People will go unemployed as we can't sell into the Chinese market anymore. That will impact me politically, so I won't do it, even though I know it's right. Number five, assault, fraternization, harassment. Punishment book reveals non-commissioned officer misconduct aboard the 13th MU deployment. There you have it. Again, this is the constant drumbeat. It is can you imagine in the Marine Corps, a force that is 67% underneath the age of 25? 200,000 people, 67% of that is under the age of 25. It's like an out of control college. Give me a break. It's just you could write this shit all day. Assault, fraternization, insubordination, destroyed hotel property, disorderly conduct, hazing, and sexual harassment were among the charges filed against a number of staff and non-commissioned officers, according to the unit punishment book obtained by Marine Corps Times. You could write articles on this shit all day long. So anyway, I wouldn't waste your time with it. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, the Lynch Kenny event gets going. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.